Senate Resources Committee to order. Today is Friday, March 27, 2009, and the first bill that we have up is Senate Bill 54, price gouging. And we've had this is the second committee. There are two more committees of referral on this. It's going to Judiciary and then Finance next, and of course it's got a way to go through the House as well. And we've had public testimony on this. We've had discussion on this. We've worked to try to accommodate the parties in this of interest. And is there a motion, Senator French?
Just to make certain, Mr. Chairman, the working document is / T, Tango?
Yes, that's correct. And thank you, Senator McGuire, for reminding me who's present. We've got Senator Huggins, Senator Stevens, Senator French, Senator McGuire, and myself, Wilkowski. And perhaps we should adopt the CS.
Also move.
Yeah, okay, /T is adopted. And is there any further discussion on the bill? Yes, Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Number one, there have been multiple modifications made, amendments, and I appreciate that because I think they're worthy of being amended. And you and I have talked about a couple things which I think would be addressed in subcommittees, one of which, and on line 25, page 2, that the exorbitant and excessive be amortized over a an economic period of time, high prices, low prices, if appropriate, over a given year or a time frame. And then the other one that I would encourage, and of course some of us sit on finance, to look at 10 times the economic benefit obtained, whether a cap of that based on the scenario might be appropriate, because sometimes it can get out of hand very quickly. And finally, just my concern is that we in some cases are in sort of in a tenuous situation with refineries, numbers we have in their production, and how important it is for us. And if we give them a scenario that where their best choice is to close down, we got to be careful. So that's a very sensitive one for each of us. And we know the status of Flint Hills is tenuous at best. So,
thank you, Senator Huggins. Excellent points. And I'll just clarify for the record: it's certainly not our intent to drive anyone out of business. Our sole intent in doing this is to really just try to get some relief for Alaskan consumers who believe that they're being charged excessive and exorbitant prices. And I'll kind of taking your points in order, on the amortization on page 2, I would agree with that. If a refiner it charges on one day or for a short period of time a higher price to make up for lower prices, that's not our intent. It's not our intent to try to penalize them for doing that in any way. And we can certainly work on crafting language to sort of clarify that. On the cap, we have reduced the penalties. Again, we're not trying to put anyone out of business. We're simply trying to send a strong message that we want to try to get these under control. Again, it's not our intent to put anyone out of business. That's certainly something that I'd be willing to entertain in future committees. So is there any other discussion on the bill? Okay, we have /T in front of us. And is there a motion?
And Mr. Chairman, I would move that Senate Bill, CS for Senate Bill 54, /T, be moved out of this committee onto the next committee referral with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal notes.
Is there an objection? Okay, thank you. And with the understanding that the bill is to be worked on in future committees. Okay, the bill's moved out of committee, and Michelle will pass around a slip. Will you sign that? Okay. Next up, we have SJR 16, supporting OCS development and revenue sharing. And this bill came up at the previous hearing. There were some very good suggestions that were made. Michelle, you want to take a step down there? And if you could just briefly run through for the committee the suggestions that were made and the changes that were made to the CS.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Michelle Seideman, and I am one of your staff members. As members will recall, last Wednesday we took up this resolution for the first time. Members suggested in on line one of page one, replacing or substituting the word responsible for environmentally sound and culturally sensitive. So we made that change in three places on the resolution. The second place was on line 14 of that first page, and the third place was on line 30 of the second page. So we did that consistently throughout the resolution. Senator Wagoner also raised a question about whether oil and gas production has indeed generated millions of dollars in revenue from the Alaska OCS, and we, at Senator French's suggestion, replaced the word production with lease sales and clarified that they have generated millions of dollars in revenue. So those are really just the two simple changes made, and you have a CS in front of you that incorporates those changes.
And that's on page two, lines 25 through 27, that second change?
Yes, that is, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Michelle? Is there any further discussion on this? Can I get a motion to adopt this resolution?
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Is there any objection to adopting backslash yes? Okay, seeing none. Is there any discussion on the resolution? Okay. Can I get a motion to move this on to the next committee of referral?
So moved.
Okay. Is there any objection? Okay, seeing none, the resolution will move on to the next committee of referral. If you could pass that around as well, thank you. Okay, next up we have House Concurrent Resolutions 2, 3, 4, and 5. And we could have Representative Rammers join us. Representative Rammers, welcome. And I'll just say that my office and Senator McGuire's office have been working with Representative Rammers just on some of the language, and I want to thank him for working with us to come up with a resolution that's we've taken the four and consolidated them into one. And so I'll turn it over to you, Representative Rammers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And if you'd like, I'm sorry to interrupt, if you'd like my staff or Michelle to join you at any time to assist, please let me know.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, member of the committee. It's a pleasure to be before you. Michelle, we would be delighted if you would assist us in going over the changes. We'd be very pleased. Members of the Resource Committee, we're very pleased to be articulating this path. This is a consolidation of HCR 2, 3, 4, and 5, which really articulates how to eat an 800-pound elephant, which is to breaking it into a few pieces. And we have now consolidated into a single Senate CS. And we have some attractive language in here that articulates how one might go about building an in-state gas pipeline. Thank you, Mr. Chair. It was a pleasure to work with you also.
Thank you. Any questions for the bill sponsor, the resolution sponsor? Yes, Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you. Representative Rammers, I looked at your individual resolutions previously, but the consolidated resolution, do you agree with the contents, or do they need to be modified, or does this represent the essence of what you had?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, thank you for the question. Working through the Senate requires a little more finesse than working through the House, and I'm deeply appreciative of how to negotiate your way through this side of the building. And we are reasonably content with the language in the Senate version. We think it gets us to relatively the same place. And perhaps with a little more economy of language than the sponsor would care for, but nevertheless, we're quite satisfied.
Very diplomatic of you.
Well, through the chair, when we went to Energy Council, I got to travel with four senators, and I paid close attention.
So, and I'll just say from our aspect, it wasn't our intent to change, the intent. I think the one sort of change that we did make was we obviously consolidated the four, and just in sitting down with staff, trying to figure out the best way to move this forward, it just became clear to us that it was easier logistically to put it all in one. And I do appreciate Representative Ramirez working with us on that.
Thank you. And through the chair, it's become increasingly obvious to myself, I won't speak for any of my colleagues over on the House side, but that sometimes it's easier to work with the executive branch when you are more and more explicit in spelling out the details. And so that's the only reservation I have about this work product, is that in our effort to accommodate everyone, I don't want to be dilutive in expressing our intent to the executive branch to turn over every rock and to make every effort to move as expediently as possible. But that said, the most significant change is that I just applaud the hiring of Harry Noah to be a coordinator of an in-state gas line, and I appreciate in working with the chair, I appreciate the fact that one of the very first things that Harry Noah is going to do is to determine whether an in-state line is superior to further exploration of the Cook Inlet. And to that end, one of the notable changes in here through the chair, Senator Huggins, is on page 4, line 17, where you see we have changed the date from the House resolutions from November of 2010 to June of 2011, which is the date that Harry Noah has indicated he wants to try and tie this thing up into a pretty little bow. And so we think that we have accommodated the wishes of the chair and the wishes of Harry Noah, and a little bit dilutive for the explicit instructions I thought we were providing to the executive branch. But I'm quite satisfied with the compromise to all parties and the recognition that we're trying to take on a pretty significant task in here and create a legacy for the governor that is an attainable legacy.
Thank you, Representative Ramirez. Any questions? Any other questions? Yes, Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and welcome to the committee, Representative Ramirez. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Just a couple of questions. I have not worked with this language much, and so I'm just need to satisfy a few items of curiosity for me, probably more than anything else. Page 3, the whereas clause beginning on page 16 asserts that we will be expanding natural gas usage in the interior and south central from 200 million cubic feet a day to 700 million cubic feet a day between 2010 and 2025. Who's your witness on that fact? Who is asserting that?
Through the chair, Senator French, that was Colleen Starring from NSTAR in a presentation here in the Senate Resource Committee.
Very good. Next question, if I may continue, Mr. Chair. Final page, page 4, the further resolved clause beginning on page 5 urges the governor to advocate for an increase in the volume of gas can be exported under license to 60, looks like, billion cubic feet a year. What's the daily volume? I mean, I'm so used to thinking of how many million on this day, how many million on that day. Do you know what that roughly translates to per day, just to give me a feel?
Through the chair, excellent question, Senator French. The 500 million cubic feet per day line, which is AGIA compliant, is about 180 BCF a year. The residential and light commercial use in the rail belt, if Fairbanks is built out, plus Anchorage and other rail belt communities, would be about 60 BCF a year. Agrium is anticipated, if they come back online, to be about 60 BCF a year. A potential expansion by from the U.S. Department of Energy would be another 60 BCF a year that would fill the line and provide the lowest possible tariff for all users.
And if I may, was that the impetus, if you will, behind the selection of that number to produce a 500 million MCF a day usage from an in-state bullet line?
Through the chair, Senator French, exactly, precisely.
Great math. Thank you. One, maybe two more questions. The you explained to the committee why you picked June 1, 2011 as the wrap-up date, but I can't help observing that that may bridge from one administration to the next. Your views on perhaps issuing a command to a governor we don't even know who that person may be yet, is that got enough punch for you, or maybe you can just give me a little some of your thoughts on that topic.
Through the chair, Senator French, also an excellent question and a policy issue that I wrestled with. We had maintained on the House side a November 2010 date. We thought that was critical because of both the election cycle and the open season from Denali and TransCanada, and vacillated on that and opted for the June 1, 2011 date because that is the date that Harry Noah has talked about. I think both dates have their merits and otherwise, and I'd be delighted if we wanted to amend that back to November 1 of 2010. I think it is perhaps a more relevant date, but I wanted to pay my dues to the efforts that Harry Noah has made, and he's been critical somewhat that the legislature is going in a lot of different directions, and so I wanted to show an accommodation to Harry Noah that I was moving in the same direction as he is. But I personally find that November 2010 is a more relevant date and would be very open to an amendment to make a date change.
I'm not going to second guess your judgment, but I've also just heard you make a request for us to make an amendment. So I think I'll leave that in the hands of the capable chairman. Maybe finally and most globally, Mr. Noah, it sounds like you're in good communication. You understand where he's going, and he understands the intent behind this. Any other inputs from the administration regarding how they're going to treat this request that they do a bunch of things?
Through the chair, Senator French, I just read an exceptionally well-crafted letter written by you on a different subject, and I don't think I need to tell anybody here on Senate Resources how on some days it's very easy to communicate with this administration, and on other days much less so. It was too cumbersome to bring four resolutions before this committee, and I appreciate the consolidation, but one of the benefits of four very distinct resolutions is it was much more incremental in the instructions for the executive branch, and it was quite successful in its construction that way, because sometimes incremental instructions are easier to take and digest, and easier to move a single resolution through the legislative branch, but for the benefit of an executive branch that from time to time shows a skill set that perhaps demonstrates they're not listening very well to the legislative branch. The four resolutions were quite constructive in offering a more explicit incremental point of view to the executive branch as to how to build an in-state gas pipeline.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Those are all my questions.
Thank you. Any other questions? Yes, Senator McGuire.
Thank you. On the effective date, I see the arguments for both, but I think keeping the June 1st, 2011 date in is good because it does show some lining up with the third floor and Harry Noah's efforts. And you want it to be achievable. And if that's the timeline that this administration has set and tasked itself with, to sort of up that by 7 months seems, or even more, 9 months, seems like we might be setting them up for failure. And then the second point, I think it's a good idea to have something in place for the next governor. And I do think that whomever it is, this is still the most important thing that we can do right now for Alaskans. And it provides direction and perhaps even continuity in its instruction should we have a different administration come in between. And then the only other thought that I had to my co-chairman is that should we desire to do so in transmitting it, we could have it a letter from the Senate Resources Committee that would accompany this document, this resolution to again, you know, echo the Senate support, but also in the methodology that Representative Ramros envisioned, and that in consolidating it, we still envision it to be incremental in nature and instructive, and that these are the things that the steps that we think are important to walk through for the benefit of the citizens of Alaska. So that's one idea. We could do it conceptually and then work on it.
Happy to work with you on that, Senator McGuire. Any other questions or comments? Senator Huggins?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of comments. Number one, my good friend Jay Ramros is never lacking for passion. He certainly has better vision than a lot of us. He can be provocative. He can be constructive. And he can get just about anybody's attention by some technique that he has in his toolbox. And I admire all those because it's important. It's important. And to that extent, I know without any doubt that you go to my neighborhood, talk to my neighbors, my constituents, and you say in-state gas, and they want to talk to you. And to be quite frank, if there's one issue that there's been lots of knuckleballs thrown on, that's one of those balls that floats around that people can't figure out, and it's going about 10 miles an hour, even the best hitter can't hit it because it's tricky. And there have been lots of knuckleballs thrown on this issue. And I can tell you that Jay Ramos hasn't struck out on that knuckleball. He sees the ball, and I appreciate that. Now, taking that one step forward, it's the other part, and I'm glad that his name was mentioned, was Harry Noah. The fact that Harry Noah is the first person that I've dealt with that's working on a project that really has done something, and that most people when they talk to him say, you know, this guy knows what he's doing. He's done lots of big project kinds of things, and we think he can make this happen. That's a good thing. And then the other elements, and I'll just check some off here because I've listened to Harry Noah and I've listened to Jay Ramros and others sitting around this table talk about him. But the number one thing that has to happen is that this, quote, bullet line project, the economics have to work. And that is one of the essence of what we're talking about here today. But it's more important than that. We will get a good look at Cook Inlet. It doesn't matter whether it's what's in the ground, what holes could or would be punched, and where the right places, and storage of gas in that respect. That's important. Storage of gas. I'll say that three times. Storage of gas. It's that important to us. And then one of the things that, to be quite frank, I heard the mention of the 0.5 BCF. You know, if there's one thing I'm certain of is that Alaskans will say, you move ever how much gas it takes to make this pipeline work because I want gas that's economical. And I'll say that one more time. You move ever how much gas it takes to make mine economical. So I don't feel constrained by that 0.5 BCF no matter what AGIA says. And then the source of gas is one that Harry Noah is echoed on. And I hope that Enana is the place where it is. And we can deliver that quickly both to Fairbanks, which is starving for gas, and that we can less expensive for us. And then one that can't escape us, which is important because we can't be selfish about this, is Harry is also working on the piece about statewide distribution. And that's important. Just because we live on the rail belt and we would have the luxury of this gas when it arrives to us economically, would, oh, by the way, those people that don't live on the rail belt have to get the benefit of it. And then there's a couple of wild cards that I think have high potential. One is gas to liquids, and I know Jay Ramros, Representative Ramros, has worked on that and it continues to pursue it. And I'll say this one, I'll smile a little bit when I say it, but little ships moving gas about big communities, and I admire your vision on that and your tenacity, and thanks for the invite for working with you on a teleconference on that. And finally, each of us should be proud if, in fact, we have some place on the rail belt that we have a petrochemical industry by virtue of things like this and Harry Noah and other people's actions, because, and it is important that this vision extend past the present governor if she doesn't continue to run, because this is something that's very meaningful to all of us. So I guess left-handedly, Jay Ramos, thank you very much for your hard work.
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, to touch on, thank you for the kind words, to touch on one point that may be of interest to this committee that's new, that is not included in this resolution, is the evolving dialogue in this building with Doug Ward and the Ketchikan dry dock. And I'm sorry that Senator Stedman is not here, because he had dinner with Doug Ward after a presentation a week or two ago. And there is an enormous use of small ships for small communities, including Kodiak, Senator Stevens, and the ability to move. And I'll tell you that Fairbanks is a fine example of the fact that we buy LNG at Port McKenzie. It's liquefied, put into trucks, it's run up the road, and then regasified into a tank farm in Fairbanks, which is no different than how a little ship would perform that was 7,500 cubic meters or 10,000 cubic meters. And I don't see the senator that represents the community of Dillingham, but I will tell you that when the House Energy Committee went out there and listened to the concerns, apart from the cost of energy, there was the matter of the gross domestic product in Dillingham. And they have to allow so many fish to go by that are in excess of their escapement goals, because there certainly is not there's simply not the ability for the large processors at the peak of season to be able to process the fish, nor, because their electricity comes from diesel, is there the ability to create ice or freeze storage. We could double the gross domestic product of the community of Dillingham by providing cheap energy for them to create refrigeration and to create ice, let alone the more complex task of trying to figure out how to gasify the community. And we have found just in our early research, and Doug Ward is going to be making a presentation to this building next week, Japan, Sweden, the Caribbean, a whole host of countries have found a mechanism of using small ships to deliver LNG, if not to a fully gasified community, to a single or small cluster of industrial users in these very small communities. And there is a better way to vertically integrate the resources of the state of Alaska that will translate into increased prosperity and a better GDP for some of these communities that are isolated, that may be structurally or technically too difficult to gasify the community, but it shouldn't escape our breadth of vision to contemplate how we might gasify certain industrial centers within these communities with small ships that are built and serviced by the Ketchikan dry dock. And it's a very fascinating proposition that I hope to bring to members' attention in this building in the next 7 to 14 days.
Thank you. We do have public testimony, and I'm going to, because we've got such a full calendar today, I'm going to limit the public testimony to 3 minutes. And online, we've got Paul Kendall. Are you there, Paul?
I think I am.
Great. Okay, Paul, why don't you put yourself on the record, and you've got 3 minutes.
Sure. I'm Paul D. Kendall, and I'm going to start my own timer, because it seems like in our world today there's really no more public dialogue. It's all one unexpected moment after another, and it's sad to see that. So, but having my own timer, I can have my own destiny, which I think all men should have. You know, first of all, I want to thank Mr. Ramos for his continuous flow of eloquent rhetoric. And I've come to the conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to divide our society. Those of you who once remained subjugated and indentured to natural gas and somebody else's revenue and stream flow, I think you should go there. I wish you all the wonders in the world. I think of what we see coming up very, very shortly. You're going to see one breathless moment after another for natural gas in pricing and availability. I think it is another sector of our economy which will do great for cash flow, and I'm still support the governor in trying to hold on to that big dog, which I don't think is going to come home. Likewise, the bullet line, I think, is just another diversionary tactic to divert us from being able to generate the new technology of electricity and the hydrogen gas. Quite frankly, as adults, I think we can now talk about that. Everyone else in the world is. But I guess I'm trying to move. It's hard to be able to cram down cryptic language in 3 minutes, but I'll do the best I can at this particular time, even though I've made other efforts to contact you folks, and it's just been one discouraging moment after another. I'm not paying for the gas. Let me repeat that. My people are not paying for the gas. We will not be subjugated. You want to have gas, you do gas, but you give us equal amount of funding. I'm talking residential only, and you go gas. We're going to go electric. We're going to go renewable. We want to develop the Cook Inlet, the Kinnick Arm, the Turnagain area into a world-renowned research site that our children can be proud to be a part of the new world coming. If you want to stay with the fossil fuel and those people who are killing every living creature on the planet and wars and part and parceling us and diverting our capital in little tribal groups like the school district and the road and bridge people and the university and the Fairbanks boys and the Juno boys and you guys, have at it. But some of us have just seen, and we're done with all of this foolishness, okay? It's time for freedom. That freedom is in your individual homes, ladies and gentlemen, with electricity and water. That's what we were supposed to be about, not somebody's financial balance. And Mr. Ramirez, I want to tell you one more thing here. Don't you ever discuss the refineries until those guys come to us and give the information. There is no dialogue. There is no position to be made or stood up for until those guys come clean with the information that belongs to us. We conveyed to them the right to develop our energy. We did not convey to them ownership. Now, I'm done with this. It's foolishness, okay? I think everyone else around the world is too, and it's sad that you would deny our children the ability to move quickly within 3 to 6 years to convert the Anchorage and other communities to all electric. And my time is up, and I would like to close, if I might, Chairman, with your indulgence, with this consideration. In a sense of practicality and on space observably, if you sent 3 crews out, one to build a road, one to build a schoolhouse, and one to build a magnificent hydroelectric power plant, and when those 3 projects were done, which would you want to own? The foolishness, the degree of stupidity of even an attempt to be able to support a road or a school as compared to a hydroelectric power plant or a clean power plant is just foolish. And the only thing that tops that in a true conclusion is this. When I see all of you part and parceling the money like some tribes out of Baghdad for your money, your money, your money.
Paul, can I get you to wrap it up?
I am right now, Chairman Murkowski. When I see you part and parceling these monies to divert them from a greater cause for the collective, where we could all bring the money together and Carol could have her power plant and pay for some of the utilities and the road and bridge people to have for their homes, we could bring that money and do something very, very magnificent. It is the only thing more discouraging than seeing our leaders want to throw money at a road or a school or some gas plant, which is just, I'm just beside myself. And I thank you, and I regret that I have to have an emotive position like this all the time, it seems like. So thanks, guys.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Okay, is there anyone in here in the room in Juneau that would like to testify? Is there anyone else online that would like to testify? Okay, I'll close public testimony then. Is there any further discussion on the bill, on the resolution? Okay, let's adopt the CS/T.
So moved.
Is there any objection to adoption? Okay, CS is adopted. Motion to move the bill?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we move the new Senate CS for House Concurrent Resolution number 2/T with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note out of this committee.
Any objection? Okay. Thank you, Representative Ramos.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members.
Resolution is passed.
Okay. I'm going to see a yellow.
Yeah. Next up is Senate Bill 71, Alternative Energy. And I'd like the committee to recognize that Senator Thomas has been here. Anyone here for Senate Bill 71? Going once, going twice?
Now, why don't we go ahead and run away?
Okay.
Oh, here he is.
Ah, you just made it. Okay. You want to put yourself on the record and give us your presentation on Senate Bill 71?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I, Dave Stancliffe, staff to Senator Terrio, and the bill you have before you is an attempt to help us to prepare for some of the alternative energy systems that we find ourselves now exploring in the state of Alaska. Senator Terrio thought it would make good sense as we do these explorations and these inventories and discover possibilities for providing energy for our public facilities that we begin to incorporate into the design of these public facilities the ability to accept those forms of energy. I would use as an example, thanks to the legislature and AEA, Tok, Alaska is about to become the first school in the state to derive its heat and possibly power, but for sure its heat, from wood fiber and biomass. They are the furthest along and have been approved for the facility. When the engineer from AEA came out to look at the facility, he said, what a shame that the utility room wasn't 10 feet wider and about 15 feet longer, because it would have meant that it would have been large enough to incorporate this secondary boiler and fire system in without having to do new construction on the school. But we didn't know when the school was built then that we might have this alternative energy source available, and we didn't have the prices on fossil fuels that we're dealing with today. And so this bill addresses those concerns. It does not bind our designers to any particular course of action. It recommends to them that they consider the inventory of alternative resources, and if it looks like there may be one available, then they incorporate the necessary design work in. The department has asked us to include a couple of additional words into the original bill, and that is in the form of a CS. Mr. Chairman, if you'd like, I could discuss the two word changes that were made.
If you would, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page one of the bill, you, in line 15, we're adding, after the word fired system 2, we're adding the word purchase. And then on page 2, line 1, we're adding at the beginning of that a line install. So the department said we really need to consider both the purchase and the installation fees, as well as the ongoing operational and maintenance fees. And the Senator Terrio concurs with that assessment. If it's the desire of the committee to also address that, the adoption of the CS would be possible. Also, Mr. Chairman, you had mentioned to me that there is, in terms of discussion, a difference between alternative energy and renewable energy. And we looked at the definition that was provided to us by Ledge Legal, and in that definition, we're talking about a system that is a non-fossil fuel-fired system. So in this particular bill, in this definition, we made it very clear that alternative energy does not include a fossil fuel system, and therefore perhaps the change to renewable energy isn't necessary, because it's clear that that isn't included here. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd try to answer any questions.
Thank you. Can I just ask where you're getting that definition from?
Well, we asked Legal for the best definition that they could give us based on other things that they had done, and that's pretty much the origin, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. Any questions? Okay, seeing none, we'll go to public testimony. And we've got Joel St. Albin from DOT online for questions. Do you have anything to add, Joel?
Hello?
Yes.
I'm just available for the department to receive any questions that you might have on this bill.
Any questions of the administration? Okay, seeing none. We've got Paul Kendall online. And Paul, you got 3 minutes.
Well, let me set my time here, Mr. Will. Okay. It's a kitchen timer, by God. In a spirit of compatibility and respect and all that stuff, okay? My first thought is that, again, I wanted to try to communicate to you folks to let you know that we have to come together here. I'm very concerned about all of the things that no one's really addressing what's happening on a large scale. Many of us feel that our economy may collapse here quickly, locally, in multiple sectors. We also think the outside may be coming with some unknown, unexpected unknowns. And we think we should take all of our money, move it into Cook Inlet, and create a wonderful site for a multitude of new electrical projects. And when you look at the
in trying to move that message to you folks. I just think we should all come together and bring Mr. Obama up here and the governor, and we should release some of these stimulus strings and literally move to launch the new next great retooling of a community like the size of Anchorage. And by retooling that community and making it our focal point, we would, in essence, disperse the many communities scattered throughout the state. And what I mean by that is an example of Galena. If you look at Galena through a YouTube or Google Earth, you'll notice there's this great body of water sitting right next to this community, and there are most of those. And we think that by going into the Cook Inlet area within 3 to 6 years, not Mr. Haggison's 15-year-out who's sitting there, not the Chuck Chama with the unreinforced channel that could drop any time 10 years out, we're talking 3 to 6 years of a coordinated effort by all the parties who would not miss any funding or be taken, have something taken from them. But we can move into that area. We can do about probably 15 to 20 different projects. But in addition to that, we could look at channeling waters. And by the channeling and intervening with 42-inch pipes and channel locking, things like that, we think we could divert water to raise and lower its level, look at the subsurface ice flows, the crawlers on the top when the ice breaks up. We think some of those remote communities are capable of being able to be all electric or near all electric for their homes right now. But Mr. Haggison, I'm very concerned that he has not brought us all up. We should have had probably the world's leaders in photo technology here for convening great expositions and shows. We should have had some of the leading manufacturers of generators. We should have had some of the leading manufacturers, some of the new technologies of electric vehicles. We have a chance, ladies and gentlemen, to move so quickly. And that gas that Mr. Ramos continues to push those people's interest, in my opinion, and he can come back at me. But the point is, every time we move our home, the heating and cooking to electricity, and the insulation, which is, I don't want to go there, but do not go to conservation and efficiency, that's another divergence. But if we move our vehicles in there, we will actually move gas to those other areas and make money. We have to focus on what's taken from us now. If I might conclude, I really don't want to conclude. I was trying to hog the time. I thank you for what little opportunity we have, and I wish you'd come back to the majority of your population, because there are so many places we could go, ladies and gentlemen, so quickly, because we're so small, and yet we have the attention of all the large players here. There's no reason why within 3 to 6 years your children couldn't be world-renowned, one of the leading communities in the world, and the infrastructure and the multiple sectors of development, permanent fund, and all of us, who could be, this is a wealth much, much, much greater than trying to bet on a pipeline that I don't think is going to come, that world pipeline, quite frankly. And thank you for the indulgence of the extra time.
Paul, thank you again for your testimony. Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify? Is there anyone else online that would like to testify? Okay, we'll close public testimony, which brings us to discussion of the bill. Is there any discussion of the bill? Can I get a motion to adopt the CS /E?
So moved.
Any objection? Okay. Okay, what's the will of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we move CS for Senate Bill number 71 /E out of the committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Is there any objection? Okay, seeing none, the bill has moved out of committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Okay, next up we have Senate Bill 108. It's our last bill of the day. And Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Chairman Wilikowski, and the rest of the Resources Committee. Appreciate the opportunity today to discuss with you the Senate Bill 108, which establishes the Stampede Recreation Area. Stampede Road Corridor, northwest of Healy and flanked on three sides by the Denali National Park, is a traditional place for many Alaskans to hunt, fish, trap, snow machine, utilize off-road vehicles, mush, and pursue other recreational opportunities. Senate Bill 108 will preserve the traditional uses of this area by creating the Stampede Recreation Area within the Stampede Corridor. Several years ago, former Governor Murkowski proposed to build a road through this area, and the planned road would vehemently was vehemently opposed by borough residents as well as the recreational and traditional users groups who had an interest in keeping things the way they are. In an effort to preserve the area for use by residents and visitors, the Denali Borough Assembly passed a resolution calling on the Alaska Legislature to designate the corridor as a Stampede State Recreation Area with a strong emphasis on self-determination by the residents and users of the area. Excuse me. Current use of the area includes off-road and all-terrain vehicle use, watercraft use, snow machining, horseback riding, hiking, bicycling, dog sledding, cross-country skiing, ski-touring, camping, hunting, fishing, wildlife viewing, and photography. All these activities would be protected and preserved under this proposed legislation. Recreational users of the area come from the Denali Borough, Fairbanks, Mat-Su, Anchorage. Tourists and adventurers travel to the area from across the globe. The area supports several tourism-related businesses, including several lodges and road touring companies that rent all-terrain vehicles for use on the more primitive sections of the trail. The bill is supported by the Denali Borough Assembly, the Denali Chamber of Commerce, the Pangini Creek Homeowners Association, which is the neighborhood associated for homes located along the Stampede Road, and the Denali Citizens Council. Additionally, my staff and I have hosted several constituent meetings on the proposed legislation in Fairbanks and the Denali Borough. By and large, the proposed area is supported by local residents and trail users. The main impetus behind the legislation is to protect the area for continued traditional use. I urge your support of Senate Bill 108 and the Stampede Recreation Area.
Okay, thank you, Senator Thomas. Any questions for the sponsor? Yes, Senator French.
Just to make sure I understand, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Thomas, welcome to the committee. The area you're talking about is got the cross-hatched areas, so it looks like it's a couple square miles, roughly.
But
Senator French, through the chair.
Much bigger. Sorry about that.
Much,
yep.
Much bigger.
Suddenly
than
see
that.
It's
each
a,
one of those squares,
square
the
mile.
Small squares, I think, is a square mile.
Sure.
If I'm correct, so it's a pretty fair chunk of ground. And you are correct. The cross-hatched area is the area, and I think my aide may have a more accurate number of square miles that it covers.
Senator French, through the chair, the Joe Hardenbrook, staff to Senator Thomas. The size of the proposed recreation area is roughly 10 miles from north to south by about 35 to 40 miles east to west. And if the back page of the packet that was just handed out shows a unfortunately rather blurry shot of a map, but this is Denali National Park, and you can see this is the Stampede Road corridor sticking into the northeast corner of the Denali National Park here.
Any other questions for the bill sponsor? Okay, seeing none, we have about seven people signed up to test. You have anything else?
Yeah. Senator Wilkowski, before we move to public testimony, there is a draft CS that we've submitted to make a technical correction to the bill.
If you could tell us about the changes in the CS, please.
The draft CS for Senate Bill 108, the original draft incorrectly included reference to section 41.21.47. The draft corrects references to refer to section 41.21.405. So, not a huge amendment, just technical.
Great, thank you. Okay, we've got, like I said, about seven or eight people signed up to testify. And we'll start with Dave Tallarico. Are you online?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me?
Yeah, and I'm going to limit the testimony to 3 minutes for everyone, please. So, yeah, go right ahead. Put yourself on the record and who you're affiliated with and present your testimony, please.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and all the members of the committee. My name is Dave Tallarico, and I'm the mayor of the Denali Borough. And I really don't have much to add to Senator Thomas's what he told you about the area, other than he's been very accurate with this. We really appreciate his efforts towards this, and I'm just calling to support the bill today. It is very heavily used by local residents on a year-round basis, and we do have visitors from both north and south. It's been an area that we've traditionally used, and myself, I've used it probably for the past 39 years. So I just want to call and say that we're very supportive of this. The Denali Borough Assembly is supportive of this, and thank you very much for your time today and hearing the bill and hearing the testimony. Thank you.
Any questions? Okay, thank you. Seeing none, next up is Susan Braun.
Hi. My name is Susan Braun. I live on the Stampede Road in the Panguinney Creek subdivision. And I also, along with my husband and a friend, own land on the Savage River that's in this proposed state rec area. And I'm calling to support the bill just because it would let people keep using the land the way we have been for the past 30 years. And it doesn't stop anybody from doing what they have been doing. I've been to some of the meetings that our senator mentioned, and it was amazing that it just seemed like, well, I guess maybe not unanimous, but there's a lot of support for this in our community, and people would like to see the traditional uses recognized as being important. You know, that's why we live in Alaska, is we like our way of life that we have here. So I feel that this bill supports that, and I hope you all will too. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Next up, we have Brooks Ludwig. Brooks, are you there?
For State Park. Can you hear me there?
Yes, we can. Please go ahead and present your testimony.
Okay, well, I'm the park superintendent up here in Fairbanks, and we're just working grassroots, and we've heard a lot of public support for this area, and we're definitely interested in traditional uses, and as we craft this area, if it becomes a state recreation area, we will go through the public process and involve the locals there and get their input and try to design this to meet those demands of the people.
Okay, thank you, Brooks. Next up, we've got Stuart Cubley.
Hello, this is Stuart Cubley. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Please present your testimony.
Yes, I'm a landowner in this area that would be covered by the state recreation area. I have a property on the Sanctuary River. I would be a potential inholder in this recreation area. I've had the property for over 30 years. I support this. I think it's an important step for conserving the traditional uses. I have gone in and out of this area over the years under all sorts of locomotion, dog teams, snow machine, skiing, sometimes helicopter. I know the area well, and I just I feel that it would be best for not only the inhabitants but also the land itself if you were to go ahead with this. So I support it.
Thank you, Stuart. Next up is Julia Potter. Julia Potter.
Yes, hello.
Yes, please state your name and welcome to the committee.
Yes, my name is Julia Potter. I'm a resident of Denali Borough. I am a very active member of my community, volunteering as a member of the Denali Borough Assembly Advisory Committee, the Denali Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors, and the Parks Byway Community Partnership. I'm also employed with the Denali Citizens Council, which is a local nonprofit which promotes citizen education and citizen involvement on local issues. As a resident, I want to protect my way of life, and part of my lifestyle includes having access to the Stampede area for recreation. Myself and my friends use the Stampede area for hunting, trapping, hiking, skiing, ski joring, mushing, snowmobiling, four-wheeling, camping, berry picking, photography, wildlife viewing, and other recreational activities. I want to know that these traditional uses will be protected, and I know that this bill would support those traditional uses. As a member of the Denali Chamber of Commerce, the Chamber does support this proposed legislation, and we have sent a letter stating our support to Senator Thomas. We have several members who own tourism-based services along the Stampede Road, providing recreational activities for their clients, such as horseback riding, dog sled rides, and jeep tours, as well as lodging facilities. We know that Denali Borough depends on tourism as a main source of revenue, and local business owners depend on tourism for their livelihoods. We feel that creation of the Stampede State Recreation Area would provide visitors with an opportunity to experience the traditional Alaska way of life while supporting local businesses and in turn supporting the local economy of Denali Borough. And it's serving on the Parks Byway Community Partnership, which serves to implement the corridor management plan for the George Parks Highway Scenic Byway. The group recognizes the importance that the creation of a Stampede State recreation area would have, as it would provide an area for visitors traveling the byway, readily accessible recreational opportunities. And of course, this in turn stimulates the local economy and Alaska tourism. And finally, my employer, Denali Citizens Council, initiated an online petition last week asking our members and local citizens to show their support of Senate Bill 108. To date, we have received 110 signatures. 90% of the signers are Alaskans. 50% of them are from Denali Borough. Some of the comments we received are as follows.
Julia, we have the document in front of you, and your time is up. Can I get you to wrap up real quick?
Sure. I would just like to say that the comments received are comments that I hear throughout the community in my position with Denali Citizens Council. I thank the chair and the committee members for hearing this bill, and we're hopeful to see it then.
Great. Thank you very much for your testimony. Okay, next up we have Hannah Ragland.
Hi. My name is Hannah Ragland, and I'm calling to support this bill. I first wanted to say thank you to the committee for your time and consideration of testimony on this bill. I'm a resident of the Tanguini Creek subdivision, which is accessible by Stampede Road, and I own 13 docks and regularly use the area almost daily, included in the proposed state rec area. My partner and I use this area, like I said, daily during the winter months to recreate both with our dogs and on cross-country skis. We also use a snow machine to occasionally provide support for our camping trips and transportation and recreational access. During the summer months, we frequently bike and hike with our dogs, and in the fall, we pick berries in the area around and beyond 8 Mile Lake. In the summer months, we often use parking at 8 Mile Lake as a way to access the land surrounding it. I feel that overwhelming sentiment in the neighborhood is to see this area and the recreational access to it unchanged. I also feel that in order to ensure that the recreational access to the land is unchanged, that the land will need to be managed in a responsible way. And this is why I'm in favor of the proposed rec area. I feel it would be advantageous to the state to continue to consider the inclusion of 8 Mile Lake into future legislation. 8 Mile Lake is the main access point for nearly all summer visitors, as they can drive and park at the lake. And in the winter months, most of the trails converge at the lake before accessing the land to the west. The addition of 8 Mile Lake would make managing recreational access to the west much easier for the state. There are currently a variety of uses for the area, and as interest grows, which it's bound to do and has over the past several years, responsible management of these recreational uses will guarantee that the area and the recreational access will not be impacted. I understand there's a concern for maintaining motorized access, and I have used snow machines in this area and do support responsible mechanized travel. I also understand that different recreational uses require different management, which is one of the reasons that I support this rec area. I must say that my main concern is guaranteeing access of my dog team. To ensure that my right to recreate in this area safely is preserved, I would like to see the state manage use in the area, and I would also like to see the community involved in the process. I hope that responsible management of the area will ensure responsible use by all parties involved. I feel really lucky to have Stampede in my backyard and lucky to have access to the Stampede Trail at my front door. I plan on being here for the long term, and I would be reassured if recreational access to the land is preserved. I support this proposal and would encourage the committee to support this bill, and also to support future proposals that provide for the inclusion of 8 Mile Lake and the land around it. And I'll just close with thank you to the committee for hearing and considering our testimony.
Thank you, Hannah. Okay, next up is Charlie Loeb. Charlie?
Hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for taking my testimony. My name is Charlie Loeb. I am presently a resident of the Tahkeena area, down in Senator Huggins' district, but for a long time I lived in the Denali Borough where I still own property off the Stampede Road to the east of the proposed recreation area. Both when I lived in the Denali Borough and now when I travel up there, I often use the area under discussion in this bill for a variety of activities, including hiking, bird watching, skiing, and mountain biking. Others have listed the many other uses that take place within the rec area. It seems like a lot of things have already been covered, but I did want to emphasize a couple of things. First of all, just to say I'm extremely supportive of this legislation. I think it'll do wonders to help us protect the existing uses over a long time. As you've gotten a sense from all the previous testimony, there's a lot of use out in this area. And that use is growing, and it's growing certainly from those folks coming from out of state, but probably growing from those using it from in-state as well. And when you have that much use, you end up needing management. And I think that the rec area designation will, as the state representative in Fairbanks pointed out, provide the opportunity to have a management plan that can actually help manage this level of use. I'll give you just a very small example. I have a friend who will not walk her dogs out around the 8 Mile Lake area because they like to roll in stinky stuff and they always come back home covered in human feces. That speaks to a large density of people who are using the area in a volume that is too high to readily sustain. I mean, it's something easy to fix with an established campground and a few outhouses, but at the moment it's sort of chaos. Unique for this area is its proximity to the entrance of Denali National Park and, of course, to that scenic byway that Julia mentioned. And I think the area has a potential to be a real asset for the state in terms of providing a place for visitors from outside who are coming to the number one non-coastal tourist destination in the state. You know, it provides overflow for those folks coming out of Denali Park who are looking for some place to hike or camp, or for those businesses, and particularly local businesses, that can't operate within the park. But it only works if there's good management, and the rec area will provide that. I realize it's not presently in the bill, but like Hannah, I encourage and support amendment of the bill to include the 8 Mile Lake area within the recreation area boundaries. 8 Mile Lake is really pretty much the gateway to the lands of the recreation area. It's a focal point for several reasons, not the least of which is the maintained road access ends here. But the lake itself is a real attraction for the area. It sits on the top of near the top of a saddle above tree line and has terrific mountain views in all directions. To the west, distant views of Mount McKinley are possible on a clear day. Looking at the current use patterns, I suspect that the area will continue to be a major destination, camping area, and trailhead, whether it is included in the recreation area or not. It only makes sense to wrap it in so that the same state agency can manage this area along with the rest of the rec area.
Can I get you to wrap it up, Mr. Loeb?
Very good. I very much appreciate your consideration of this bill, and I strongly support establishment of the Stampede State Recreation Area. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you. And it looks like the rest of the people online are available for questions only. Is there anyone online wishing to testify? Okay. And then in the room, we've got Mary Soroki.
For the record, my name is Mary Soroki, and I'm Special Assistant to the Commissioner of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. The administration believes it is in the best interest of the state to reserve a transportation and utility corridor through the proposed Stampede Recreation Area. In 1998, the Alaska State Legislature passed SB 180, relating to the rights of way for RS-2477 trails. That legislature found it important at that time to reserve the Stampede Trail. I want to assure you that there are no specific plans for either a road or the installation of some type of utility, nor are there any foreseen in the near future. However, since this has been a transportation corridor for several generations, nearing 100 years, it makes sense to reserve that option for generations to come. Reserving a transportation and utility corridor should not impact how the recreation area is managed. DOT issues permits for activities and right-of-ways as a standard practice. We will work with our sister agency, DNR, to find the best locations within the right-of-way for the facilities that they may want to construct, such as outhouses, campgrounds, benches, pullouts. And upon DNR's request, we will do the same should a private entity be interested in some type of facility. If at some point in the future a road is constructed, DOT will either avoid those improvements or will move them, and that is a part of a project's cost. Additionally, it is important to remember that reservation of a transportation and utility right-of-way does not eliminate the department's responsibility to work with communities to determine if a road or a utility corridor is in the best interest of that community and the neighboring communities. DOT understands and respects that there are some in the Denali Borough who do not support the construction of a Stampede Road, and I want to make sure that people understand this is not a backdoor attempt to get a road put in. Reserving a right-of-way allows future generations the opportunities to make decisions based on the conditions and issues that they find at that point in time. I have a variety of DOT experts online to answer questions if you should have any.
Great, thank you. Any questions for Mary? Yes, Senator French.
Your first point was that the recreation area should have a right-of-way reserved through it.
Correct.
Does this legislation do that or not?
No, this legislation doesn't.
Thank you.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you. Through the chair, Mary, what do you have an amendment drafted that would accomplish the goal?
We do have some language. We would request that there be 500 feet on either side of the center line of the RS-2477 trail. That will give us the room to put the road where it makes most sense, so we can straighten out the trail where it makes sense to straighten out the trail, or we can avoid wetlands or historic areas. It does not mean that we would need that 1,000 feet for the whole, once a road is constructed, should a road be constructed.
Senator French.
Thank you. The last time the road idea came up, I think in a sort of a friendly way, I challenged the then Commissioner of Transportation to go take a look at it. And we did. He said, sure. And I flew to Fairbanks, drove to Healy. We got in a helicopter and had a really fun day looking at the road on out, all the way out past the bus, all the way to where Cantition is and back. But what I took away from that experience was the deep opposition to that idea in the community, and the extraordinary costs that the state would incur if it ever decided to build a road in that direction. And so I guess I just wanted to put those two observations on the record as we're considering, I don't know how serious the committee is granting the department a 500-foot wide easement. Did you say 500 feet on each side? Oh, 1,000
feet right away.
Let's see, that's not quite a quarter of a mile, but it's close.
It's probably enough for an 8-lane highway. Any other questions? Yes, Senator Huggins.
Yeah. Mary, it seems to me with the traditional trails and right-of-ways that whether it's designated or not, I mean, it in fact exists.
There is federal legislation called for part of a bill that's called, we refer to it as the 4F section, that requires us to achieve a very high bar should we want to use federal dollars for any road. We have found that without the reservation of a right-of-way, even using state dollars, that if it is in a recreation area, if it's in a wildlife area, that without having that specific reservation of a transportation corridor, that we have been finding it very, very difficult to get a road put in. I think it's important to recognize that we're asking for a reservation for planning purposes down the line. We recognize that currently there is no desire to put a road in, but we're reserving it for the future and for utilities. So, you know, we don't know that 30 or 40 years from now, it won't make sense to make a loop come through Denali Park and out. While that is certainly not a part of anybody's plan at current times, we don't want to preclude ourselves from that sort of activity.
Paul, Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And that's not a outlandish suggestion that there may someday be a loop road into and out of the park through Kantishna. But I guess to me it's maybe one of the most remarkable hearings I've ever participated in, given the one-sided nature of the testimony. I mean, there's lots and lots of tourism people that focus on this part of the world, and I expected this to be sort of one of those half-and-half propositions where, you know, the half of the testimony was, don't lock up more of Alaska, we've got to have access. I didn't hear a single person ask for that. And, you know, that just to me speaks volumes about what the community wants. Thank you.
Through the chair, Senator French, I believe that the communities did speak about wanting access, and I don't think that our proposal to reserve a right-of-way prohibits them from having the traditional kind of access they would want now.
Any further questions for Mary? Mary, thank you. And let me bring the bill sponsor back up, and if you would care to comment on the administration's proposal, I think that'd be helpful for us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On their proposal regarding
the right-of-way? Yes.
Well, first of all, we think it's a rather wide right-of-way. And it has been opposed, but I think that maybe over time there may be some need for it. So I guess I cannot preclude something that I wouldn't necessarily want to preclude something that might be in the future. But I believe before we'd go ahead with that, and I think there's always the opportunity. I don't think this bill precludes that from taking place in the future by other legislation. So we're willing to talk with the administration about what their needs are and see what might be done, but we know that the general public at this point in time and the people in the area are not necessarily in favor of what is being proposed by the Department of Transportation.
Senator French.
Thank you. Where does the bill go next?
Finance.
Yes. Yeah. Senator French, to the chair, it is finance.
Lots of smart people working. I guess my, if I were going to ask one question for follow-up, would be, you know, to get our legal department to answer the question of whether designating this as a recreation area forevermore forbids the construction of a road or not, or the granting of a right-of-way or not. And if I had an answer to those two questions, you know, because I think the department's got a point of view. 50 years down the road, I don't know what that area is going to look like. You know, it may be hover cars. It may be that we've all had to leave the state because the economic collapse never fixed itself. I don't know. But, you sort of want to keep your options open.
Through the chair, Senator French, if my staff, Joe Hardenbrook, could comment on that. I believe we have done some looking into that.
Mm-hmm. Senator French, through the chair, I direct your attention to the map with the grid here as well. And you can make out this line moving through, and that is the Stampede Road and Stampede Trail. This lake here is 8 Mile Lake, which several folks testifying discussed, and that is the extent of the road really being passable by standard car. From there, you see it moves into the proposed state recreation area and then up into national park lands north of the proposed rec area before coming back down into state-owned and managed lands. my understanding after discussion with staff members from the Department of Natural Resources, and Melanie Lesh is here as well, who can speak to this, is the purpose of an established recreation area is to maintain recreational access and use, and that is determined by the commissioner. So should Department of Transportation after the development of the rec area, and Melanie Lesh can correct me if I'm misspeaking here, the commissioner then would be responsible of DNR would be responsible for determining whether or not that fit within the stated purpose of the designated area.
Any Melanie, did you have anything you wanted to, if you do, then you please come up and pull.
Seeing as online, actually, you can speak to one, and I am paying attention
okay.
to the first.
So we have James King. Are you there online? James King?
Yes, this is James King. I'm the director of the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation.
Yeah. I don't know if you've been following our discussion.
I have been.
Do you care to make a comment?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, Joe explained it correctly. The creation of a state recreation area does not preclude a road. In fact, the important thing is that we would go through a planning process to come up with a management plan. If through that process, the community and Alaskans and the park all said, hey, it makes a lot of sense to put a loop road through the national park and coming out through the Stampede Recreation Area, then that's an allowable use. And that, if it's considered for recreational purposes or for transportation beyond that, that can be an allowable use, and this bill would not preclude that. And Joe Hardenbrook was right in saying that this is a decision that the commissioner can make as to whether this is an allowable use within the recreation area. I think from our perspective, the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation, we don't see a road necessarily as a bad thing. This could be a good thing. And a legitimate use through this area, again, if that's what the public and the community say they want through this area.
Mr. King, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but am I hearing you correctly that you're saying we don't need to reserve a right-of-way at this point in time?
I'm saying, again, Mr. Chairman, I'm saying that creating the recreation area does not preclude a road in the future.
Okay. Yes, Senator Huggins has
a
question.
Thank you. Hey, James, it's Charlie Huggins. How you doing?
Good.
Good question for you. What's the difference in the status of the Stampede proposed area than Nancy Lake?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, fairly similar language to create those areas. And the concept is that these areas are considered special areas or areas that should have a little more protection, a little more management for some of the reasons that were talked about in the testimony. It helps when there gets to be too many people and there needs to be some guidance along things. So this would be a very similar to the Nancy Lake Recreation Area, but I think the important thing to state is the management of this area would be dictated by the management plan, and that management plan would be developed by a very public process with the community and Alaskans and users that are interested in that area. And through that, it's very likely, as was pointed out by the bill sponsor, that motorized use, various different types of motorized and non-motorized uses will be very legitimate and can coexist in this area.
Right. Yeah, it just as a statement, and James, you can correct me anytime I say something that's incorrect, but I know Nancy Lake, you know, there's some debate about how readily accessible areas are. I mean, people that have cabins, you know, you're going through relooking that based on how much snow and the width of the corridor. So, I mean, I don't want to disagree with you, but it appears to be a lot more complicated than what you just said in my experience if Nancy Lake is anything like this area.
If I could respond through the chair, Senator Huggins, you're right in that the issues are more complicated in Nancy Lakes. When Nancy Lake was created and the management plan was created, it was almost 20 years ago, and most of those lakes were accessed by people who had float planes. As time went on and a new generation of users moved into those cabins, there was more and more demand to access those cabins via four-wheelers and snowmobiles. So we're trying to find that balance between, right now we've got about half the users that still want to access those by plane and don't want to see a change, and you got the other half of the users that would like to access it with snowmobiles and four-wheelers, and they would like to see a change. And so at this point in time for Nancy Lakes, that's why we are reopened the management plan, and we're going out to the public and saying, okay, what do you really want to see as far as management in this area? But you do bring up a good point. Whenever there's a lot of people that have a lot of ownership in an area, making those management decisions does take a fair amount of work to find that balance between the different user groups.
Senator Huggins.
Well, James, in the case of a corridor for a road, and let's just assume for a moment that we decided to adopt that, but it's a fail-safe mechanism. We made a qualifier in the respect that to develop the corridor that would take legislative approval. Does that give any balance to in your mind, or does it just complicate your life?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, I guess I don't see our division having a lot of opposition to a road there, if that's what everybody says. And I think, certainly if you feel that's important to make it so that the legislature has to approve that in the future, then that would make sense. I guess my opinion would be, at this point, the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Transportation should be given that authority to go through that planning process and figure out what the public wants and what the demands are, and working with, I guess the reality of it is, it's a road to nowhere unless you get the National Park Service and they agree that they want a road through the national park. And so there's a whole lot of very public planning that would have to go through before any road would be built, with the exception of if the management plan comes out and says, hey, we the public would like to see the existing road pushed into the recreation area further for recreational access within the park, then that's a very doable thing that probably wouldn't take near as big of a process because it doesn't involve the national park which surrounds it.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? All right, it was our intent to hold this bill over and give members an opportunity to sort of digest all the testimony and things that we heard today. So I want to thank the bill sponsor for the presentation and everyone for testifying. And we will bring this up again in the future. And with that, we're adjourned.
Thank you.